and welcome to the Book of Boba Fett's Chapter 7 review. Full spoiler, we're getting deep and dirty into it. I am your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
I'm your season finale, Jackson Deline.
Hello, season finale. How are you?
Chilling up.
Dude, we just watched the entire first season now of the Book of Boba Fett. I know. How do you feel?
Are we getting a second season?
I think that's something we can discuss after this episode discussion, but I have some thoughts that we'll get into.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, so
thoughts and opinions. I had that thought when I finished it. I was just like, wow. I was like, that's the Book of Boba Fett.
And I am empty inside.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
But great. I mean, the good thing is we only have to wait 3 months until Kenobi now, which is insane.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? So me and Jackson were not able to watch this episode until about 6:30 or 7 our time. Jackson probably watched it a little bit earlier than that. But I remember I texted because I saw the announcement on Facebook and I texted Jackson. I was like, dude, does this mean we're getting a Kenobi post credit trailer? And he was like, it's pretty possible. And we did not get that, but we got the cool poster, got the announcement. I think that's all we need for now.
Yeah.
But to why everybody is here, let's talk about the Book of Boba Fett finale.
Yeah.
Should we?
Yeah.
Well, first off, what are just some overall reactions to this episode for you?
I have an unpopular opinion, but honestly, I'm going to act on it. It's not a big one. It really doesn't matter that much to me, but I'm indifferent about Robert Rodriguez's, like, there's just this style he has that gives it big video game vibes. And it's not bad. And at the end of the day, it's fun. I ended up learning to have fun with it. So it's not that I like hated it and was like, it's terrible. And it was just, it's not my cup of tea. And it's always kind of weird and jarring looking to me, but I still had a blast with it.
Yeah.
That being said, I really did enjoy this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I think it was the perfect way to bring us out of this first season of Book of Boba Fett.
I agree. It is in the lower ranking of the episodes to me.
Mm-hmm. I think because we had so many, you know, character reveals and like so much whimsy in the past few episodes. And this one was kind of just like wrapping a bow on everything.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as like, it wasn't doing as much for like the fandom expectations of things showing up, you know?
Well, it's not even that. It was more to me. I guess it was just a very predictable episode in the sense of what its story was, you know? I wasn't expecting like a character to show up or some big twist ending, but I don't know. Truth be told, it really just was shooting for like 45 minutes.
Yeah,
but like it was fun. It was enjoyable, you know. I think what I'm like trying to say is like, no, I get it. Like, I wasn't expecting like a big character, but there's just this like, I don't want to say it was underwhelming, you know, like I wasn't dissatisfied with it, but I don't know.
We'll talk. Something just felt a little off.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, maybe I'll figure it out as we kind of go along. But
yeah, I actually really enjoyed this episode. I think there's a lot of moments that like moved me, and I think it did what I wanted it to. Like it did a great job at like bringing this whole season to like a climactic build, and I think it delivered on that for sure. I can definitely see what Robert Rodriguez meant like a couple months ago, where he was like, Book of Boba Fett will over deliver. And we can kind of see why.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of get into the meat and guts and organs of this episode here. We start out here at the remains of the sanctuary. Obviously we know Garza Whip equals Dead. All those sexy Twi'leks dead. You know, my life over. But what?
I really hope Max Rebo's okay.
I think he is. I think they made a point of not showing him in the explosion.
That is very true.
I think
I
so many memes have been built around this.
I bet you season two, it'll start. Boba's having a party at Jabba's palace and Max is playing.
Oh my God.
And that's how they reveal it. Like Max is there and everyone's just the fandom exploding.
Honestly, I'm all for the memes of like the guy and the girl laying in bed. And it's like, I bet he's thinking about cheating on me. And it's just, I hope Max Rebo's okay.
I love seeing like tweets where it's the Revenge of the Sith. Is he safe? Is he all right? It just says Max Rebo.
Yeah. And then we kind of get this first, I think this is the first dialogue interaction between Mando and Boba that we've seen since Mando season two. Yep. Because the last episode, they just kind of looked at each other, nodded, and that was about it. We haven't really seen an interaction between them. So that was kind of, it's weird to say nostalgic.
Yeah.
Because Mando was less than 2 years ago, but that feels like it was so long ago.
I had that same thought in their later conversation that I'll talk about with that whole scene, but I had that thought then.
Yeah. But we get them kind of putting their plan together, like they decide they're going to stay in Mos Espa and, you know, defend and like fight the Pikes because they know they're coming. The
sanctuary, yeah.
Yeah. And we cut to obviously we get Cad Bane back and looking as pale as ever. And he's meeting with the Pikes and we get kind of like this, what seems like a basic, like, you know, business meeting or whatever. But we get a really interesting reveal that it was indeed not the Nikto gang that killed the tribe, that killed the Boba Sand People tribe. It was the Pikes. What was your reaction to that reveal?
I thought it was going to be revealed that it was Cad Bane who did it. Like he's been working with them this whole time. And I thought it was interesting that it was just the Pikes, that it was like, they can do it themselves. Even Bane had that same thought. He was like, I got to give it to you. You guys get dirty. I thought that was interesting. It made sense. It made complete sense to me. So I was just like, I didn't really have any thoughts about it. I was like, honestly, that's a realistic approach about it. Doesn't need to be a twist about it, you know?
Yeah. I for some reason, I vaguely remember like, I don't know if it was when we were recording or not, but I remember you saying something about like, something's fishy about the tribe being, you know, being killed out. And I remember you thinking like one of who was it that you thought was that Cad Bane was?
Oh, I thought it was going to be the Tusken warrior lady.
The Tusken warrior lady. Yeah. Yeah.
Who I guess is also dead.
Yeah. Yeah. She's dead. Sucks. For audio listeners, Jackson's just giving a frown.
It just sucks. That's not.
Yeah, well, we can always revisit the Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 3.
Chapter 2, right? Chapter 2.
It was 2, right? Yeah. I meant to say 2.
And honestly, but, I think that's been my favorite of the whole season, is Episode 2.
How long do you think Cad Bane has been in with the Pikes at this point?
I bet you they brought him in. His first like gig was dealing with Cobb Vanth. They kind of talk about it like that. That was the first thing the Pike says. He's like, "Oh, you're back already. Like that was fast. Like you make quick work." And Cad Bane's like, "Yeah." He's like,
"I guess, yeah. I guess Cad Bane is kind of like, I'll do a job for you."
Yeah. So I bet you they were like, "Hey, we'll pay you a good amount if you help us deal with this situation." And then he obviously kind of, that first scene with them, he is like understanding like why it's all of this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked seeing this. I thought this in the last episode too, with Bane's reveal, seeing his like distaste with Boba, like there's actual like haste in himself with it. And their conversation later, I'll talk about that. But I thought it was really cool, like, seeing this, like, you almost wonder what happened, but it's not really like what happened. It was just like, that's just how they know each other.
Yeah. It's really,
yeah,
it's really interesting. It makes me think of what could have been with the Clone Wars and a lot of things that happened there. But
they talk like that scene totally happened.
I know. That's why I was like, whoa, yeah. Okay, hold on. Are they like, just like, canonizing
I know, that scene? Like, they kind of, I thought they were going to flash back to it. I thought that was going to be like, that would have been cool. That would have been cool.
But kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. Yeah. But we cut to obviously Luke's X-Wing flying into Tatooine. And for a second, I was like, oh, Luke's finally returning to Tatooine. No. And it's just R2.
No. I said the next time a Skywalker steps on foot of that dirt world, it's going to be some girl who's going to bury the things that they treasure most on it.
Yep. I love the fact that R2 is still just flying around Luke's X-Wing. Yeah. And I thought there was gonna be a reveal. It would have been so stupid and silly. The thing opens, like the X-Wing door opens, and Luke just like,
hey,
like pops up like,
hello,
hey, how you doing?
Yeah. The monotone like, voice. Hello.
Wouldn't that have been so goofy? But for like a split second, I was like, is Luke being his little silly goose right now?
I loved Pelly's like line deliveries in this scene. They taught when it revealed, they taught you how to fly an X-Wing already.
Yeah. I know an astromech is flying the X-Wing.
That's a terrible name.
She's so like unfiltered. It's great. And how like immediately she thinks it's one of the captains of the New Republic.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's hello, like, officer. I have my license, don't worry.
I was just doing it. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So continuing on, we jump back to the sanctuary and we learn that the crew that Boba has established is spread out all throughout Mos Espa. The Power Rangers are in one area. I don't even know what their
name is. The mods, I think is what they call them. Like the group is called the mods because they're all modded.
Power Rangers are in one area. They're in the Aqualish. The Kersantans in the Trandoshans. And then the Gamorreans are in the, I don't know, the dog face people.
Yeah.
And while they're talking about it, the mayor's like assistant dude shows up and is like, it's the robot. It's the robot that's like, hey, you have a guest, and it's Bane. It's Cad Bane. And this is like this conversation. I thought seeing this interaction was going to be their version of the unfinished Clone Wars. Yeah. I thought they were going to duel right here and then. But I like that it was just a conversation. I like that they talked.
It would have been really cool if Cad Bane shot Boba in the helmet at the same spot.
Same spot, yeah. Like redid it. Yeah. No, but in this scene, we learned that Boba learns that the Pikes killed the Tuskens, and Cad kind of pokes that at him, and it gets to a point that Fennec gets intervened. But I liked seeing Fennec be able to contain Boba. I like Boba being smart enough not to literally fly off the handle.
And we kind of talked about that very early this season, talking about how like Fennec would kind of be Boba's right hand man and like be able to like you just said, like,
assess and understand.
Assess and like calm him in situations. Yeah. And I think that worked really well. I really liked the first thing that Boba says to Cad Bane is, I thought I smelled something.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever Cad Bane says in response, I looked at my girlfriend. I was just like, I have no idea what. I was like, I don't know what that means.
I thought it was kind of like low key surreal to see them.
Yeah. It was surreal.
In live action.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like in a really good way. Like it wasn't
but it was. You've never seen them interact before, but it was interesting. And this is what I was talking about, where it was like, they they talk to each other like there's such this rich history between them, but this is the first time we've seen them ever together.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I thought they did a really good job at expressing that. It really made me want to see more of Boba and...
For a second, I was like second guessing what I knew about the Clone Wars. I was like, wait, did I miss something where ended up being together? But yeah.
But like, Bane talks later in their second conversation that kind of hints that he was like a mentor to Boba at some point. And I almost wonder if they will. So War of the Bounty Hunters is over.
Okay.
Which, by the way, they announced a full omnibus of it.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm going to get that.
It's going to come. I think it's going to come out in November. I'm going to get it too. Yeah, and I think it's going to be read in chronological order between all of the crossover styles.
Awesome.
But I think they're going to continue on with Boba and talk about more of kind of his like other bounty hunter stuff. And I think if they're going to do that, then they'll do it with this kind of Cad Bane, you know, show more of them and kind of make this, you know, fill in the gaps of the conversations they're making up now.
Yeah.
Which I really
hope
so.
I think it would be kind of fun. It could be kind of fun to explore that in like the Bad Batch.
Yeah, I think so too. I hope Cad Bane shows up more in the Bad Batch.
I think he will.
I hope he is more of a recurring villain. I thought that was a really cool like added side to, because they were all about like crime underworld, you know? And I think that'd be cool to be like, you know, I could expect like the Bad Batch being somewhere on a job and they run into him and he's like, what are you doing here? And they're like, what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah. But
yeah, getting it. That was off track, but trying to think. So they have this conversation and then they send Fennec to Mos Eisley because that's where the Pikes are stationed.
That's right.
So she leaves, and the second she leaves, the crew gets attacked. Essentially, you know, we talked about who's going to turn on Boba, who's going to be. I didn't expect all of them to.
I know.
Like, and that's what I really liked about that, was that I think everybody expected someone to. It turned out to be all of them, you were like, oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, why would you expect them not to?
Well, they talk about that. Mando says they made the smart move, and Boba kind of sits back and he goes, they did. They did make the smart move. So, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting that Boba understands that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, I can't say I'm surprised at all. So it's good that he covered his own butt about it.
Yeah. And, you know, with basically all of them had no reason to really respect Boba's reign.
Yeah.
So like the fact that he just like was like, you know what?
Yeah. Can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the group gets attacked and we lose our big green boys, the Gamorreans. They knock him off a cliff. I gave a hard put in that. I was like, wow. I was like, they really be out here throwing them, just tossing them. Not
off the cliff.
Not cool.
Hold on. Gamora.
Stop.
Dies from being thrown off the cliff.
Gamorreans. She jumped off a cliff. She got thrown.
The Gamorreans are also green.
Stop.
The parallels. I'm just saying.
The mods get attacked, and so does Kersantan. I thought many times in this episode Kersantan was going to bite the dust.
Yeah, I thought they were going that route too. I was convinced for a second because they were doing like the whole like dramatic music with slow motion.
He got dogpiled by the lizards.
No, don't give me a Rogue One death, please.
But Fennec ends up saving the mods. We get a really interesting moment between not Billie Eilish and Fennec. Manners, I like it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so gay. That is awesome.
I was expecting some kind of other reveal than Fennec for that scene for some reason. Mostly because I didn't really hear her voice over the comm. Oh, like I didn't really recognize her voice. I was like, who is that? And for like a split second, I was like, how cool would it be if it was like Omega or something?
If it was just someone new. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I think that whole interaction between what even is, her, does she have a name?
I don't know. I don't.
Not Billie Eilish.
She's Red Arm, not Billie Eilish. And he's
Red Arm, not Billie Eilish. And yeah. And
they're the Matrix Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say.
I'm right. Yep.
Yeah. The Matrix Power Rangers. So
they send Fennec off to Mos Eisley to go take care of the Pikes. Everybody's making their way back to the sanctuary, and we get this moment between Mando and Boba where they talk about what they can do. Mando's like, we can bum rush them, or we can wait till they have more numbers and we can possibly have more numbers and we just see what happens.
Yeah.
Boba's like, Boba's like, you can leave. Amanda's like, nah, I'm staying. Like, it's a job. Like, this is just me. Like, it's my thing.
Yeah.
I really like that moment where Boba was like, you really believe all that? The creed is Bantha fodder. Yeah, all of that. Just that interaction between them and Mando. I think it's interesting, Mando sticking to his beliefs even though he has...
Even after he's kicked
he's
out.
He's been exiled. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's also what kind of confused me in that moment was Boba was like, you still believe in all that crap? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, good.
Yeah. He's like, someone needs to.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I was like, that is so mature and grown up of Boba to say.
Yeah.
And it really there's a self-referential, I think, quote later on. I think it's either later on or it is whenever Cad Bane says the line, you've grown soft in your old age.
Yes, I was just thinking this as well. Yeah.
And Boba was like, everybody does.
We all do.
And I was like, that's what we have all been thinking about Boba this whole time, though, is Boba's gotten a little soft. But
and like, he's like, that's the point. He's like, yeah.
Like you learn from your past self and you grow past that.
You don't need to be this concurrent, like, constant stoic, raging, stoic, angry
bounty hunter.
Yeah. We'll talk about that with that moment.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So they have this moment, and then the mayor's assistant Twi'lek dude is like, I have an idea. Write down your terms of surrender and give it to, and I will be your person to do it. I was like, I have no problems groveling for you, so you don't have to take an ego, so to say.
Apologies.
Yeah, he was really funny in this one. The Pikes pull up and they send the dude out, and the board. I thought it was. He like stops and he's like, he can't read it. I am Boba Fett. My terms are nothing.
There will be no negotiations.
Nothing. Yeah.
He's like, you will leave Mos Espa, or with something along the lines of like, your bodies will.
Yeah. The dunes will grow fresh with new flowers from
something like
the bodies that lay
from the remains of your bodies or something. I was like, wow, that's very tough. Poetic. Yeah.
So then they kill this dude, surprisingly. I thought they were going to get him in this one.
I wouldn't have been mad.
We
I don't
get,
really care
we
about
get
that
this
guy.
Really cool action sequence with Boba and Mando.
That you were talking about last week that you really wanted.
Yes, I did want a moment like this.
I was like, oh, here's Jackson's moment. Dude, as soon as they got the jetpacks out,
that was what I was excited for, was both
I
of
was
them.
Like, yes. And then we also got the knee darts and the little arm missiles. I was like, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I dug it. I have to say, this isn't as good as his first reveal when I'm talking about like action sequence wise. Like in Mando season 2, when Boba gets his armor back and he goes off on all the stormtroopers, like that reigns supreme. But I wish there were more moments like this in this show, period, of just like not like dumb action sequences, but like Boba being cool to the sense of I wanted to see that, like, while Boba's doing all of this, he like can still hold that he's like this killer, which we'll talk about this later on, because I have thoughts about this too. But I wish there were more of this throughout that show us kind of a leaving it behind rather than it just kind of assuming, you know, which that's a picky thought. But yeah, we get this really awesome fight scene. And then the people of Freetown show up and they come to help, and it's the people. And in these conversations, they pretty much say Cobb Vanth is super dead.
Well, for a second, I thought Cobb Vanth was going to be in there with them.
I thought so too.
Like slinged up or something.
Yeah, I thought so too. But no, the bartender guy talks to Boba and he's like, yeah, he shot and murdered him in cold blood.
Yeah.
So they have this really big fight.
It reminds me of that moment in The Rise of Skywalker when like they're at this point of like hopelessness and like no one else is there to help. Yeah. And then like they get this big cavalry showing up. Like, it's no Navy. It's just
last
people.
Last second saviors. Yeah. Love it. Kersantan shows up and has another almost dies moment where he's getting,
they really
shot
wanted us to think that
running.
He would die in this episode.
Boba slides up and saves him and pulls him in. And then they fight enough pikes off that the pikes run off and everyone's like, we did it. Yay. And Mando checks his like thermal and they're
don't celebrate yet.
They pikes have this like, they're like super, they're giant droidica. Pelly called them scorpion droids.
But they look like they were just like essentially really
big
sentry droids.
There were two of them and they start tearing it up, and I thought it was hilarious when Boba's like, run, and it was just this crowd of people like just booking it. But I thought this was a really interesting situation because it ends up becoming Boba and Mando like planning while they're like being attacked. And I loved their conversation while they're like right next to it because it's not fast enough to like reach them close up. So they just keep jumping. There were some really cool shots of Boba doing like, he does like the jetpack slide when he was dodging one. And I thought that was really cool.
He also, I like that we got to see him launch his jetpack at the at the little shield that did nothing.
Yeah, it didn't do anything. Well, I love The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
The droid said it.
Yeah. No.
They end up like fighting it, and Boba's like, Mando, keep them distracted. I'll be right back. I have an idea. And Mando's like, what?
He's going to get the Rancor, isn't he?
I totally was like, it's happening. It's here.
Yeah. And then we get Pelly showing up. He's like, hey, Mando, I got something for you. Yeah. He's like, not now.
Mando gets them separated. One ends up chasing him, the other after the mob of people. And then
I love that little moment of them, of Grogu and Mando reuniting though.
Yes, I agree. I love Grogu pulled out. He's like, look, he's like, I have it.
You got my shirt. I love that he calls it a shirt.
I know.
awesome.
They gave you my shirt. I really liked when the soldiers, essentially the group of people, They post up at this like wall, and it's not Billie Eilish, very Jyn Erso, like, we gotta take a stand. Like, this is it. Like, we are dead after this. And I liked seeing the interactions of the mods being like the city slickers, and then the Freetown people being the like, what they call them, you know, the farm rats or
like
whatever, but like
basically the rednecks
the class
of Tatooine
system. And I liked seeing them both like come to terms and like, you know, appreciate it. It was just, it was a really cool. I loved that, seeing that, that, you know, respect bonding kind of thing. And, and then the greatest thing in this episode happens. You hear a roar. Everybody stops, even the droids.
Big old claw.
You see a claw. You see another one. You know what made me think of? Have you ever seen the original Muppets movie?
Oh, no, I don't think so. If I did, I was very young.
They end up in some like Western town at some point, and while they're there, Animal takes a potion that makes him really big, and he bursts out of the building, and it looks just like when the Rancor first shows no up, way. And it's behind the building, and it's just his top half. I bet you I can.
Maybe they took a lot of inspiration from the Muppets movie.
I would not be surprised. Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's true.
But the Rancor shows up and Boba's riding it, and it's awesome and it's so cool, and he literally found it.
Oh, did you find it?
He literally,
I think you might have to share your screen.
How do I do? Oh, okay, hold on.
There's just a share button at the bottom of StreamYard.
Share screen. You're just gonna see my main screen. To everybody that's watching, you're just gonna end up seeing what I have.
Right.
See what I have now?
No.
Okay. Well, it's there we go. I see. I understand now. We're learning this as an experience together. Okay, you guys can see my screen. Oh no, this is going to Twitter. You guys see it?
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
Boba riding the Rancor.
That is amazing.
Anyway,
oh my gosh.
So that happens, and first they take out the first robot, and it's really cool because like the Rancor beats it up enough that it breaks its shield, and then Mando comes in with the Darksaber and slices off one of its weapons and stabs it down.
I love, kind of a side note here, but I love how whichever stunt actor is playing Mando, how they handle the Darksaber.
Yeah, like the weight.
Because it looks so heavy.
And I love the way he like ran with it, very samurai style.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Super cool, super cool. They take down the first one, and then they go after the second one, and the second one is a much harder fight, and I thought the droidica was going to end up killing the Rancor. I thought it was going to happen.
I
would have had thoughts about
did Grogu get the first droid and then it was the Rancor?
Maybe they're like Mando shows up, or maybe that's what's happening. Grogu does that with the first droid.
Yeah, he like, so the droid's about to attack Mando and he uses the Force to kind of crush him.
He like picks him up. He like picks him up and pulls something off his leg.
Yeah. I thought that was a great moment because I was like, this is such a Yoda move for Grogu to do. I was like, I turned to my fiance who's sitting next to me. I was like, is, you think Grogu is going to be as strong as Yoda?
I already think so. Yeah. He's very well. And, and my thought to this was, I like seeing Grogu knowing enough that he can act on the fly with what he has. He's not great with the Force yet, but he is confident enough to step in. And I have thoughts about this too that we'll talk about with
his little walk is so cute too.
Yeah, I agree. We'll talk about with the end credit, or not the end credit, but the later shots I want to talk about.
Yeah,
but Rancor tears it up. They destroy the second one, and then I don't know what happens to the group that separates them from when Bane shows up, but maybe they're just there.
Yeah.
Maybe they are, but maybe they end up running off because they're dealing with the Rancor later. Anyway, so Bane shows up. He's got a flame wrist and he burns up the Rancor a little bit, and the Rancor ends up throwing Boba off and running off, and we have this like final.
Which did we know that fire was a weakness for the Rancor?
I don't know if it's, well, fire is a weakness for everybody.
Well, I guess so, but like
I took it as scared
the Rancor enough to like.
Yeah, I took it as that fire scary, fire, you know, like no one likes fire.
I just thought like if anybody knew how to deal with the Rancor, it was Cad Bane.
Yeah, right. Straight up, he just didn't even flinch.
Yeah,
I thought that too. Side note: before we go on to this Cad Bane duel, when the Rancor destroyed the first droidica and he had him in the pin, and Boba just goes, mm-hmm. do it, and he just rips it in half. Thought that very King Kong. Thought that was so cool.
That was insane. Yeah.
But we get this duel with Cad Bane, and you know, this fight isn't what I thought it was going to be. And I liked it a lot because
me too.
I liked that Cad Bane kind of shows him up. And Bane's point is why I wanted more action in this show, like the Mando scene, is that Boba Fett is still a killer, and I think that needed to be the thing Boba was working towards, was that throughout this show he is trying to prove a point with respect and really, you know, I think there should have been instances where Boba lets it off the handle slightly, not like, for example, if I had to, kills the water guy, the water salesman dude, before making mm-hmm. the deal. I bet you it was like, makes the deal, tries to go to respect, doesn't work, he uses fear instead. And that is eventually what Cad Bane proves right, is that Boba Fett is still a killer. Because even in the final moments, Boba treated it as though he was going to die. I knew that I thought it was going to end up being like a hand-to-hand fight, and Boba shows him up with the gaffy stick.
I thought there was a split second where I was like, man, maybe they do just kill Boba.
But there is a move that when Boba like slides from under him and he's got the gaffy stick, he does it in this like one swift motion. It's like, where was that all this time? And I think that has been essentially what Boba has been trying to suppress, is that he doesn't want to be this ruthless killer, so he's not trying to, he's pulling back. He's pulling his punches, and everyone's like, you've gone soft. And he's like, yeah, maybe. He's like, I'm just trying to do things a different way. And Bane eventually brings that out of him. But yeah.
Yeah, I thought this whole showdown was very, the entire time I was thinking of that Clone Wars deleted scene,
unfinished
Clone Wars scene. And you mentioned almost expecting a flashback. I think that would have done such a great service to this scene if we would have gotten a little bit of like
just something,
their history.
But I like that they briefly touched it. Like they talk about it, you know?
Yeah. And I also really like the symbolic nature of him killing Cad Bane with the gaffy stick. I thought that was really cool. And I think it was a really interesting way to end Cad Bane's life.
I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on like, this is how Cad Bane dies? I think about that when pivotal Star Wars character dies. When Han Solo died in Force Awakens, I said it out loud. I was like, wow, that is the end of Han Solo. Like that is how it ends. Is he's killed by his son. It's like, this is how Cad Bane dies. Is Boba Fett stabs him in the gut with a gaffy stick.
Yeah. And I'm okay with
that. It's tough as nails. Yeah. It was
rad. I thought that moment was really cool. And I think it worked very well, because I think a lot of it leans on Tem's performance, and like his kind of like, after he kills him, he like kind of looks gutted in like a really weird, like victorious way, but also like,
he's ashamed.
Damn, I didn't want to do that.
Well, and it's like, think about Bane's last words. You are a killer.
Yeah.
Like, just that hurt worse than the gaffy stick.
And we got to see the hat come off.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I love seeing the head.
Yeah.
Super cool. I thought that was such a great just that. I think that was probably that and like the first Rancor fight are my favorite scenes of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the Rancor, I love the bartenders. It's Godzilla.
Yeah.
The Rancor's on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
Too funny, and it climbs a tower, and yeah, it's so King Kong reminiscent. I guess Robert Rodriguez likes King Kong.
He must. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I thought the Rancor was going to do some serious damage to Mando.
Yeah, I did too. I thought I liked the little bit on his helmet. Couldn't do anything.
I know. I was like, oh no, is he gonna like bite the helmet like off of him, and like we're gonna see head. Pedro?
Yeah, right.
But we didn't get that.
But it did do some damage. And then it ended up being Grogu who calms the animal.
I loved this scene so much.
Loved it as well. And it was shot really nice,
I think
nice
this was
too.
this was my favorite scene of the episode, yeah, I think.
And I said it earlier, but the thought of like, I love seeing Grogu showcase his advancement in the Force and his confidence in it. And you know, being able to go from lifting just one frog to taming a Rancor, like that sounds like something Luke Skywalker would have trouble with, you know?
And I think Grogu remembers a lot more of his training than we were initially led on, because I think the way he... Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this. Like, obviously, the Force is more than just like lifting frogs and lifting rocks. And he saw life force in this Rancor, and instead of acting violently, calmed it down, tamed it, put it to sleep.
And
that is such a Jedi thing to do.
Yes.
And that just goes to prove that Grogu, I think he might not be his time with Jedi may not be over as soon as we thought.
Well, yeah. So
yeah,
we'll talk about it too.
But I thought, you know, the way the music was in that moment and the way it was shot, that entire scene, I think, was my favorite moment of the entire episode.
Yeah.
Most moving moment.
Well, we can talk about it now if we want, because the rest of this episode's pretty simple. They clean up the town. They all respect Boba.
Did you take this whole... whenever Boba's talking to like Chrysantin and the mods and stuff, do you think that he's kind of like passing the torch to them?
No, I took it as like, it's the family. Like, it's the friends we made along the way. Ha ha ha. We all saved the town together.
I think
Chrysantin, are you going to share some? You know, like it felt like a Rebels moment to me.
Yeah. There was a line that Boba had that kind of made me feel like, maybe he's kind of insinuating that he doesn't want to do this. He essentially says, like, I'm completely paraphrasing, but he says something along the lines of, like, I don't want to do this anymore.
He says, like, how are we going to do this? He's like, how are we? And I like that he mentions it with Fennec about, like, how are we going to do this? But essentially, Fennec is like, together, like, we're all going to do it. And it's, you know, gives them.
I think it's essentially just like, it's going to be Chrysantin, the mods, Fennec, and, you know, Boba, and they're all going to be kind of like this big
group of new, like,
power in Tatooine. I think that would be really interesting to explore in another season of this show, possibly.
And then before that ends, we see Mando and Grogu flying off in the N1. So here's what I've been essentially trying to say this whole time, is that Mando doesn't understand Grogu made a choice.
Right. He does not know
so
that.
So I think Mando is going to be taking Grogu back to Luke, and Luke is going to explain to him he chose to be with you, and Mando, I think, is going to say, no, you need to do your training. like, no, you are destined to be a Jedi. It is like, it is your thing. You need to go do this. And I think they will eventually come to a deal that Grogu can maybe come and visit on the summers kind of thing. Because Grogu is very obviously much more adept in the Force than Luke even anticipated. He says it himself. You just said it. You know, he's remembering more. I think Grogu will be able to prove himself to be with the Mandalorian, because I think Luke needs to understand that, like, I think what we're going to be seeing is Luke understanding that the Jedi Order is full of crap.
Yeah. I think we're going to see like that kind of thought process starting to,
because he's all about bud in him. All about, you know, you can't have attachments. It's going to inhibit your training. But like, attachments are also what led him through his journey. You know, he wouldn't have done the things he did if he didn't do them for Han and Leia and in every Star Wars. You know, it's like the attachments were a big deal. And
I think that is why, that is maybe a reason why he's so strict on it now, because he saw that as a failure in himself.
Well, not even a failure, but as a risk, is don't have attachments.
I guess that's a better word.
Everybody could be hurt. But I think he's going to be able to prove that, or I think he's going to see that, like, Grogu is another example that isn't necessarily true. And I think Ahsoka and Luke knowing each other is such a pivotal thing for Luke's like descent of thought of the Jedi Order. And I think that's what's going to eventually happen, is that this conversation will either finish, keep going to your training to a certain point, and then you can come back to me, or, you know, we'll trade this off on the weekends. I usually work Tuesdays, Thursdays, you know. Mando's like, I got gigs I gotta do.
There's just something that doesn't sit right with me of the fact that Luke gave him this ultimatum.
I think it's a test.
Because,
go ahead.
I kind of think so too, because, I mean, obviously we know this whole thing of like only a Sith deals in absolutes and that kind of thing. I'm wondering if either one, like you said, it's a test for Grogu, just so he can kind of like assess. Yeah. Or Luke is going to kind of regret doing that and be like, okay, wait, no, okay, fine, I'll train him.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be one of those things.
So and I think that if that's, I kind of lean towards more of that as well, because I think Mando's going to be able to tell Luke, like, he tamed a rancor. Like, he tamed a rancor all on his own. No one told him to do it. He decided to do it himself and he completed it. And Luke's going to be like, huh, like, oh, okay, well, then maybe I will keep training him then.
Dude, imagine, okay,
you got a point, Mando season Silver 3. Man. Sorry,
sorry, imagine Mando season 3. There's a time jump. Say it's a 5-year time jump, okay?
Oh, 5 years?
Five, because of this. We're back in Luke's school, and it is Grogu and Ben Solo.
Ah.
And Luke is training Grogu. I just want that visual so bad of Ben Solo and Grogu. That'd be really fun.
I saw these edits recently that were like, it was like a Photoshop job, but they made them look like they were screen grabs. But it was concept styles of a younger Ben Solo and Snoke. And it kind of posed it as Snoke as being, he looks like an older man. He doesn't look as decrepit like he does in the sequel trilogy. And it kind of posed it as like Snoke being this mysterious other Jedi who ends up becoming a teacher at Luke's school. And I was like, that's kind of interesting to see like that and like, involve that with like Grogu and like what happens with this Jedi Order. And I think that, if we're going to see, you know, a Star Wars confirmed that the planet they were on is the planet that you see in The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens and all that.
Yeah, I think that is basically confirmed.
It is this school. We don't know the planet. It is where he's starting this Jedi Order. And if Grogu stays in the Jedi Order, I think that's essentially going to be their reasoning to start showing us stuff like Ben Solo and Snoke and Luke building his order, is that Grogu's there. So it's kind of like the point of reference for us.
Yeah, I just, I also just, I think it'd be really cool to see Grogu advance into like lightsaber training and
being with other peers. I still think he's going to get this yellow lightsaber, this, you know, that we saw in the celebration poster.
I don't think that's canon. I don't think, I think that's more of a fan art thing than canon. I don't think that,
I just picked, it's
that
official,
art is canon at all.
I think it's going to, I think they'll eventually kind of.
It's official because it was for celebration, but it's not official to the canon of the show.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But like, I also think that they're going to be kind of leaning towards it more and.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll obviously see.
Yeah, I think it would be really. I would rather him have Yoda's lightsaber and like that is his lightsaber, than build his own. Just because of, I don't know if. Sorry, I'm trying to think of this in my head. Like that would make sense, but I don't know. What it is, but I don't know if it would sit right with me that like they kind of retire Yoda's lightsaber for Grogu to build like a yellow lightsaber, or like what if it just comes down to Luke is like, yeah, they never taught me how to build the little ones, so
so this is all I got.
This is all I got, dude.
That's
sorry,
funny, actually.
But yeah, I think if I had to choose, I think I would rather him just use the Yoda lightsaber just because like of the meaning behind that saber, kind of like the legacy of the Skywalker saber.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm not like, I swear to God, if Grogu builds a lightsaber in Mando season 3, I'm going to be so mad.
What if he repurposes Yoda's lightsaber?
Because I think that would be cool.
My thing about Grogu getting Yoda's lightsaber is that it kind of makes Grogu just this like legacy dump, is that, you're part of the Mandalorians now. Here's this armor that you always have to wear that you have to have because it's the legacy of the Mandalorians. And it's like, it's part of the creed. And then he turns the other direction. It's the Jedi Order. And it's like, you're just like that other guy that was here for a really long time. Here's some of his stuff too. You're kind of like that. And I want to see Grogu be able to make a name for himself on his own. And I think for me, building his own lightsaber is what
would
show that.
I guess I think what I'm more emotionally attached to is seeing him train with Yoda's lightsaber more than anything.
That's fair. Yeah, absolutely. And
I think that's where my attachment to that Grogu using that lightsaber comes from, is like the training aspect of it. Cause like I'm thinking of it now, I'm like, I wouldn't be mad if like he trains with Yoda's lightsaber and then like he kind of graduates to a
Maybe
Jedi Knight
like,
and like builds his own thing.
And he repurposes it to better suit him. And you know,
although I don't really have a, like what you were saying with kind of him being this legacy dump character, I don't really have a problem with like him having things from the past, because I think that kind of is what defines everybody, is like things that came before you. And you know, I think we're probably in the weeds now. We're probably looking into it a little more deep than it actually is, but
yeah, I get you.
I think that, you know, especially in Star Wars, everybody is a product of their past and like, and the what came before kind of thing. Like obviously with Luke, with Rey, with even Anakin and that kind of thing.
I mean, with Book of Boba Fett, the whole point is that Boba's trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, no issue really for me there, but I think this felt like a very satisfying ending to this, at least this first season. I don't know if, do you think we're getting a season 2 now that we've kind of discussed this episode?
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't, but I would enjoy a yes, even if it is just some new story.
Yeah, I think one aspect of trepidation that I have about that is that a lot of this season, like a lot of the response to this season, was based off of how it furthered the story of Mandalorian as well. And I'm worried that if you come back for a season 2 and there is more of a focus on you know, Boba Fett and kind of, yeah, his crew, that they would really have to find a way to advance like the narrative of this timeline in the galaxy. Like, I think it would be fun to just kind of have them, like, him and the crew and their crime syndicate shenanigans. Yeah. But I have a feeling that it has to be more high stakes than that for it to be worthwhile.
I will say I wouldn't mind if it wasn't. A thought I had that I didn't say when I was talking about kind of how I felt about this episode. It felt like a comic book to me. And that is Robert Rodriguez's style. It's very, yeah, very comic booky. And I think it really worked in this episode, and watching this in Star Wars is like this, like, it's cool seeing these characters. Like, this is totally a comic book, like this, reading this action. And like, I think that if you were going to continue this show, it would be in that sense, that style of, it is totally the wacky adventures of Boba Fett and friends.
Which I'm totally,
I would be totally
for,
down,
and I would
for.
Love I that. Really, but I'm cool. Just wondering if in like a viewer number, a logistic business sense, yeah, if it's like,
and you're right,
do you think do you think we're gonna get as many numbers if
they dug that
it's
whole
not,
progressing Mando, you know?
Exactly.
You're very right.
So I'm just wondering what Lucasfilm and Disney are thinking about all this.
I think
at this
it's
point.
Enough to give it a shot. It, you know, do yeah. once.
And I'm wondering if that's how Book of Boba Fett got greenlit, is because they knew it was going to like fill in some gaps for Mando
season
3.
And you know what? Let me say this as well, especially with this episode. Why did we have to progress that now? Why?
Yeah.
Why couldn't everything we saw involving Mando be season 3? You know,
yeah, and I'm also wondering, like, how come it didn't go from
Grogu didn't need to be in this episode.
I don't think Grogu needed to be in this show.
No, I agree.
Obviously, I'm not going to be like, oh, I wish we wouldn't have gotten Grogu.
No, I'm very
but
happy.
Like,
we
if
did.
I was, I feel like if I was, I mean, I hate being like this, but like, if I was writing this show, but truthfully, it would be something like, You have Fennec be like, yeah, we need more muscle. And then it cuts to Mando landing on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you need the whole Mando episode. I mean, I'm just talking from a sense of, if you're truly letting this show be its own kind of corner of the galaxy at this point, yeah, I don't know if he would need like this whole kind of offshoot of Mando
this
season 3 spinoff
that you introduced, yeah, like more than halfway through. Like, it just was weird.
And yeah, and I don't hate that we got that.
It,
I'm just
yeah,
wondering
just
how
strange,
different the show would be.
Creative direction choice to take the show.
Yeah,
like
I'm
you
just
ran
wondering
out
how
of
different
ideas.
The show would be if it didn't
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, just something to think about, and something to think about going into a potential season 2 or a Mando season 3, which, you know, has been, I think they have might have resumed production by now, because I know production got held up a little bit because of COVID.
I saw a rumor, like, discussion that it was possibly going to be at the end of this year, is that they were going to try and release it by, like, the end of this year.
That'd be cutting it close, because I believe they started production in November, October.
Yeah, I don't
think it was around there. So if that's the case, they've only been shooting for like 5 months, and it usually takes like 7 to 8 months to shoot a season of a show. So yeah, I don't,
what
not entirely sure.
The earliest we could see a Mando season.
December 2022.
Okay, so what this?
I think you're not getting a fall release, especially with
no.
with it being so crazy with one, COVID,
yeah.
two, it's already, you know, February, and you've already had so many setbacks. So yeah, I think the earliest we get Mando season 3 is December 2022, and that's being very optimistic. I think you show some stuff at Celebration in August. I think you show some stuff for, you know, maybe like a D23 kind of thing. And yeah, that's, it's going to be big hype for Mando season 3 when it does come.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So
let's wrap it up.
Cool. So do you have any just final thoughts here for this final episode of Book of Boba Fett?
Post-credit scene, Cobb Vanth is totally still alive.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And, you do have post-credits.
And Thundercat, the droid dude, he's going to be working on it. Now, do you think Cobb Vanth is getting a whole new arm?
That would be cool.
Shoulder? Is he...
I think it'd be cool to see him kind of like... shoulder and then all the way down to the arm is just a mod.
It's just a full-on like robotic droid arm.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Then Cobb Vanth can come out with like an eye patch and a droid arm and like a peg leg.
Oh god. Kill me.
You should have left me there.
You should have given me my armor.
I thought there was really no surprise there for me in that post-credits scene. I was like, yeah, we kind of knew that though. Final thoughts for me. I thought this is again a great ending to this season, and I have no qualms with them continuing Boba Fett's story, in whether it be a Book of Boba Fett or it be some other offshoot series they end up doing, or if it's just told in comics for the rest of the time. I don't have a problem with any of that. Rad, so.
Like a Book of Boba Fett comic series?
That'd
be cool.
Any final thoughts on your end?
I'm chilling. This was a good time. I think ultimately the show's kind of super cheesy and I loved it. I thought it was great.
In a great way.
I thought it was,
in the
it
right
was
way.
A ton of fun, and it totally held its own the whole time. And like, it had enough of like actually like episode 2 is a very like emotional episode. Like, I'm glad that it has those moments with it while also being a dumb cheesy. Like,
there's something for everybody in this season.
Yeah,
in this show.
And I think that it did that brilliantly. So
props. I think so too.
Other than that, no, I'm ready for the next.
Yeah. Same here. And I
welcome back to Star Wars limbo.
Whenever we get to Mando season 3, we're going to be in that. All right, there's no news again this week, guys. Oh, me too. Trust me. We're going to get that Fallen Star going here, and it's going to be a good time. We're going to be chilling with the High Republic here in a little bit. So, well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to find us on any of our social medias, of course, you can always do that on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and then, of course, YouTube over there, Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Quacks and Scaling. It's K-U-A-C-K-S-O-N and Scaling. Try and build me upon my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen _ photography. It's Daleen _ photography. Brady, one of my
As always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter, on Twitter at Braidathlon. See what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing over there on Letterboxd at BLedbetter, and see what I'm doing in the video world for my day job at Vet19 on YouTube. And please do not be shy. Check out that Apple Podcast, that Spotify. Let us know what you think about us. Do you think Jackson's hair looks cool? Do you think his beard looks cool? Do you think I am cute? Who knows? Let us know on the Apple Podcast review. Leave that rating, leave that review. Really helps us know that you like what we're doing or hate what we're doing. So we want to know either way. And we will be back, obviously, this week possibly, and every week from now on until Kenobi starts back up. We're going to be doing news episodes. We're going to get a couple of Imperial book clubs in there, hopefully, before then, too. It's going to be a good time. We're getting back into the swing of things here. So until then, may the Force be with you.